The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the risen Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.
It is a great blessing to look out this morning on this holy day, this holiest of day in our traditions, to look out on faces of longtime and new friends, guests, visitors, members here, some of whom whose blood, like the old chrism oils, is now part of the woodwork of this house of God. Many more faces that I can't help but catch a glimpse sitting and standing among us of those who were here at Church of Our Savior. If they were all here now, we would be overflowing out onto the street. I've been reminded this year of a familiar story in C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia. One of the children in the story is standing with Aslan on the shores of the River of Life. And he looks into the waters and he sees the face of a character whom he has long known and who has long departed. And he says to Aslan, "But isn't he dead?" Aslan answers, "Most people are, you know." As we open our eyes and we open our ears to the Easter message again this day, we should not find the world we expect. In essence, the world, the church, and the God we thought we should have is not the one we do have, is not the world, the church, and the God that we anticipate. Biblical scholars will likely always debate the true ending of Mark's telling of the gospel. In the ending that you just heard, found in some of the earliest manuscripts, we hear the women fleeing the tomb in terror. And the narrative seems to stop right there. And when I was young and perhaps a bit more romantic and living in the Midwest, I found this early conclusion with the empty tomb profoundly dissatisfying. Wasn't there supposed to be a happy ending, right? Well, apparently some ancient Christians agreed with me on that point, and they got together, and I think some of them formed a committee, because it looks like it's written by a committee. There is another ending to this gospel, and it's kind of hacked on. They were just as dissatisfied as I was, but the older I get, the more I realize that the women fleeing the empty tomb in terror is precisely how this gospel needs to end. It's precisely how it needs to end if we are to get closer to what Easter is truly about, and perhaps just as importantly, what it isn't about. The truth is, if we are listening this day and listening to the Easter story, we might all do well to be just as terrified as those women were, beholding the empty tomb. The Easter story tells us that so much of what we do and how we operate and how what they did and how they operated even 20 centuries ago was in a world that, in light of the Easter message, no longer makes any sense. You see, ours is a society, like many societies that came before it, that has an implicit pact with death. We hedge, we bargain, we save, we spend, we race the clock, always believing that death is nipping at our heels. And one of our greatest fears is if we pause too long for this ephemeral phenomenon that we call life, many of us are in dread of being left behind in the jaws of the awful darkness of dissolution of our minds and bodies and all that we care about and all whom we care about. Losers die, right? Winners prolong life. But often, as we know, that means the expenditure of a huge amount of capital, human and otherwise. Someone must choose who has to pay for that. But if you think about that for very long, you realize that that is what the cross was all about originally. The cross on which Jesus dies is the cross that is about preserving the peace, that preserves the flow and the tribute, that preserves the wealth in the hands of those who need it and deserve it, and it means preserving the empire and perhaps another year of the carefully curated traditions in the temple. But the empty tomb that the women encounter means that this ancient pact with death, and yours and mine today, is null and void as far as God is concerned. The terror for me is how this brings into sharp relief the countless labored hours, the worries, the anxieties that fill my days with death's dance, rather than the abundance of life that God offers each of us, and all of us, together. The terror is that I signed the wrong contract, put the shoulder to the wrong plow, planted myself in the wrong soil. But then I'm led to wonder if that isn't precisely Mark's point with this abrupt ending. Mark has been telling us from the very beginning, if we have been listening this year from his readings, that God is not about death at all. God is about something totally different and always something new. Mark wants us to realize that death is no longer our main preoccupation. Life is. And more than that, of course, life in a love that is so extravagant, even our world, that measures the monetary value of everyone and everything, I mean everything, cannot commodify this love, this life. And that's good news. That's what gospel means. Good news. Especially when a world is full of bad news. It's good news for a church that struggles, especially in this part of the world. It's good news for us when our spiritual forebears seem to outnumber us, and may, at least it looks like from this point, outnumber our future. But as Aslan said, most people are dead, you know. We're in this odd place of life, temporal. So if we have gathered here together today to anoint a body so we can get on with our lives, we should be terrified by finding there is no body here. If we have come today to bury our faith, perhaps we have been looking for our faith in all the wrong places and in all the wrong things. Have we not heard? Have we not seen? Mark wants us to see this God, this Savior, in the way that he has been telling us over and over again. This is the God of life, the God who has nothing to do with death, and in fact, who defeats death. This is the Savior who is here to surprise us with something new. Not with the old and familiar, not with the status quo. So I wish you this Easter, all 50 days of it, that it be filled for you with something new, something unexpected, something surprising and loving, something life-giving, something resurrecting, something that defeats death that you thought had been there for such a long time that it was always going to be there. May you meet that new life in all the places that you least expect. May you be drawn out into the Galilees of your life with renewed hope and with nerve, renewed nerve, to partner with this God of life, this God who surprises, this God who empties the tombs, who makes something new out of things that have grown old, who faithfully reminds us that we belong to life. We belong to life forever. And that we will never be left alone.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907, search for us online, or visit our website at oursaviormillvalley.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.